Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening. We invite you to look with us in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up, and clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so there will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back tomorrow and I will give it when you have it with you. Do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Do not strive with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways, for the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. Verses 1 through 35, all of Proverbs chapter 3. Lord, thank you for the fact that your word, not only the book of Proverbs, but all of your word is a book full of wisdom, wisdom that helps us in all of life to live a life that honors you, that glorifies you, that accomplishes your will, and that helps us to become more and more that which you've called us to be. Lord, help us to grow today tremendously in our love for and our commitment to reading your word and teaching our children and our grandchildren to do the same, and also encouraging others to make the word of God a high priority in their lives. Thank you for the book of wisdom, the book of wisdom that you've given us in your word. Help us to live by it more and more faithfully with every passing day. We thank you and we do praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Let me remind you once again, in April, retail giant Target publicized as corporate policy that they were going to allow men to frequent women's restrooms and changing facilities. We here at the American Family Association view this policy as dangerous to women and children because it creates a gateway for sexual predators to gain access to their victims. And since Target's announcement in late April, more than 1.3 plus people have pledged to boycott Target by signing the AFA petition. And we're encouraging you to get involved as well. If you're a listener who hasn't taken the time to do that, we would really appreciate you getting on board to help us to be salt and light in a world that needs the light of Jesus Christ now more than ever. Millions may also feel strongly with the policy who just haven't quite heard about it yet. So again, if you haven't signed it, we want to encourage you to go to afa.net and sign the pledge as well. And if you know of others, we encourage you to contact them and encourage them to do the same thing. Our goal this week is to get an additional 50,000 people to sign the pledge to boycott Target. And we're, again, grateful for those who have signed, but we're believing there are lots more who still can get involved. So, again, simply go to AFA.net and sign the Boycott Target Pledge. And before Father's Day, we ask that you'd help us add at least 50,000 more people to the Boycott Target Pledge. Would you do that? And please pray for God to bless this effort, that it would be an effective tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit to help us to be salt and light in our culture. Again, we're grateful to have with us in studio today, Jim Shimper, who's the director of 1 Million Dads. Jim, welcome to the Hour of Intercession.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you today. And Jim, if you'll just start off by telling our listeners what 1 Million Dads happens to be, because some may not have ever heard the term before. So tell them about it and what you do.
Absolutely. AFA has many outreaches. Most of them are activism types. But in the winter of 2013, I was contemplating going into the ministry full time, going to seminary and all that. And I kept praying about it, and the answer was no, for lack of a better word. And so I continued to pray, and I said, God, I will do whatever you want me to do, but you're going to have to show me, because what I thought you wanted was what I wanted and not what you wanted. And so I got it in mind. Our church was destroyed. An F3 tornado destroyed the sanctuary in a tornado in 2014. And one talk that my youth minister gave, I helped with the youth at my church, one talk that the youth minister gave, we're standing in the rubble of our church, and he looks out at all our kids, and all these kids have known this church their whole life, and it's gone. And he looks, and he says, now is the time for you to do something. Just do something. Do something to be a positive influence. Show somebody you believe in Jesus more than just saying that you do. And so that's where the idea for 1 Million Dads came, really and truly. This is not a activism sort of thing. AFA has a lot of people who guard the walls, but what I wanted 1 Million Dads to be was an enriching experience for those who are inside the walls. Fatherhood is one of the most overlooked characteristics in our nation. You know, 24 million people, 24 million children live in a home without a father. Mm-hmm. Children that don't have a father in their home are four times more likely to grow up in poverty. 71% of unwed pregnant teenage mothers don't have a father in the home. Mm-hmm. So there is a huge need all across the board for men to stand up and be the leader in their home the way God intended them to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Jim, I think of this too, that like, part of, in my mind, part of the a goal behind a ministry like this would also to challenge men to really run after God and therefore do things God's way, because lots of men out there, but they're not seeking to be godly men in many regards. Many men that end up fathering children, though they're not married to their moms, having children here, there, and yonder, and not taking responsibility. And so specifically godly men that have wanted to do things God's way. Would you elaborate a little bit more on the specific mission of 1 Million Dads?
The mission is simply what you said. Too often time we equate fatherhood with having a child or being able to create a child, and that's an act. Mm-hmm. Fatherhood comes at 3 o'clock in the morning when everybody's sick and, you know, you're rocking the baby that won't quit crying, or, you know, mama's exhausted and you're having to take care of the baby. That's when fatherhood becomes. Mm-hmm. Teaching your children to chase after God, as you mentioned, the way that they should, to be the spiritual leader of your home, is much more than paying the bills. Everybody's mm-hmm. got to pay the bills. You know, the lights don't come on if you don't pay the bills. But leading your children to Christ is a totally different set of circumstances. When you read from Proverbs chapter 3, the overarching theme was, do not forget my law. Mm-hmm. Well, how can you forget if you don't ever know it?
That's right.
And if you don't know it, who's not teaching you? It's the same way with tying your shoes. Mm-hmm. Somebody says, well, I don't know how to be a father. Well, did you have one in your home? No. Then how are you going to teach somebody to be a father if you never had one?
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I think of this, too, as it relates to Proverbs. Proverbs is a huge textbook for parents, dads, and moms, really. But, you know, it's very powerful to note, if you go through the book of Proverbs and note how many of them begin with the words, my son. Mm-hmm. It's a parent. And most of the time it was a father, but it was a father and mother in a number of instances. But a parent that sat down to talk to their child about life mm-hmm. and instruction, the topics are many. You know, the importance of having a good name, the importance of being a hard worker, avoiding sexual immoral people, lots of topics. And every topic is just as relevant today as it was when the Father first spoke it. And again, the Father's in many ways a shepherd, a protector, a guide, a provider, and so many, many things. So the work, the calling of fatherhood is so important.
And, you know, it's a two-way street as well. I always say, well, God's teaching me as much through my child as I'm teaching her, because there's so many moments in my daughter's life where I go, you can't do that without me. And I hear this voice in my head, and God says, you can't do anything without me. And it's those little small moments. It's not the burning bush moments. It's those little small, still quiet moments in fatherhood where God teaches you as much as you're teaching your child.
That's powerful. Well, if people want to learn more about a 1 Million Dads, how do they do that?
You can go to 1milliondads.com. We have a large social media presence there, and it's growing every day. You can sign up for our email list, but 1milliondads.com is our primary outlet.
Okay. Would you take a moment now, Jim, to pray specifically for dads that may be listening, but also dads-to-be, and also parents that need to know how to do their job to help mold boys to become godly fathers one day? Would you pray for those listeners?
Absolutely. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity, first, to be fathers, to be granted one of your precious angels. And Lord, we pray for guidance and strength.
Thank you.
And your Spirit, who can only guide us to be the fathers that you want us to be.
Thank you, Lord.
I pray for those who are fathers, who are waiting to be fathers, and for those who have abandoned their fatherly responsibilities, that they come back and return to you, because in returning to you, their children will turn to you, and on and on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I do thank you. Thank you for the gift of dads in the world, dads, fathers. Thank you for the opportunity that you give us to be able to provide leadership for our wives and for our children as well, and for others as well when the need arises. Father, anoint us afresh with the spirit of wisdom to be godly dads, godly fathers, because, Lord, without your wisdom and your grace, we don't know how to do the job. We don't feel equipped and prepared. And, Lord, it's your Spirit and your word that prepares and molds us. Help us to be faithful to carry out our responsibility in this regard. And help us also, Lord, to be faithful to teach and train our boys to grow up to become godly men who will provide leadership for family one day as well. And help us to know, Lord, that this is all of our responsibility, dads and moms and the church as well, to pray for our boys and our girls to grow up to become godly individuals, but specifically for our boys to become godly men who will provide the leadership that you called us as husbands and fathers to carry out. Thank you for that opportunity, and Lord, help us to be faithful to be on the job every day, every single day of our lives. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. Okay, tell us one more time, Jim, for persons that want to learn more about 1 Million Dads, tell them how to do that.
It's spelled out. Go to 1milliondads.com. You can join us on Facebook there. We have a Twitter following, Instagram, and that sort of thing, and that's the best way. Or you can sign up on our email list, and we send out a monthly email list to our list on our emails getting a little small, but our Facebook and Twitter and all that's growing pretty large right now.
Okay, then. And there, amongst other things, there are just a number of very helpful articles that will be of encouragement to dads as well, then.
Right. We've got it broken down into five categories: Christian living, fatherhood, scripture, being a righteous husband, and the nation and world. And we cover a variety of topics each week. We put up three new articles a week.
Okay. So great encouragement tools for dads to help them to become more effective at being godly dads in their home and in the world as well, then.
Yes, sir.
All right. Jim, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate you being on with this segment. And again, wish you God's best as you continue to carry out this vitally important ministry in the body of Christ.
Thank
you. Jim Shimpert, our guest for this segment, the director of 1 Million Dads. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back after this break.
Did you know there's an approved healthcare choice just for Christians that's founded on the timeless principles in God's Word? It's not insurance. It's MediShare. Over 189,000 believers across America who love God and share each other's healthcare bills. It's about half the cost of health insurance, and you never pay for medical practices that go against your Christian beliefs. Best of all, the healthcare law includes a special provision for MediShare members. so you don't have to buy insurance or face penalties. MediShare is affordable health care without compromise. Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
The women's ministry at my church recently had a chat and chew. It was all the women of the church, specifically mothers and daughters, but included older and younger women. The chat part was the older women 25 and up sharing with the younger women some of their testimonies. The desire was to help them understand that they didn't have to go through girl things alone, that there was somebody who understood where they were and had been there before. It was a great encouragement for everyone. The chew part was a time of fellowship and food. We mingled, we laughed, we talked, and of course, we ate. I came away from the chat and chew really glad that I had pressed my way to get there. I said all of that to say this: everything that you go through is purposed for your life and designed for you to help bring someone else out. Don't allow the enemy to make you ashamed of your journey so that you keep silent about how God has kept you and brought you out. Share with the younger women so that they know that they can make it too. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Rapid change. That's our culture. Christians are feeling the undertow of moral collapse and minimized personal freedoms. How are we to live out the gospel when godly principles come under attack? Take the next step. Equipped with Chris Brooks. An hour call-in featuring your questions on the phone and through social media.
And the two questions I have about that is, one, could it possibly...
I almost feel defeated. What do I do? How do I wait upon him?
Yeah, you know, that's a tough place to be.
Chris is a pastor, a seminary dean, and a husband and father. He's ready to talk with you about authentic discipleship.
I think your question is great. I commend you on reading your Bible. That's awesome. Make sure you stay in your word.
Equipped with Chris Brooks, an hour call-in featuring your questions. Here at weekdays, Equipped with Chris Brooks.
Monday, June 27th is when Equipped with Chris Brooks comes to Urban Family Talk, Monday through Fridays at noon central. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Music of Vashawn Mitchell, the song Nobody Greater. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, as always, we appreciate you being a part of our listening family. Hope that you will check out 1milliondads.com. Again, a great online ministry that ministers specifically to dads and is to be of encouragement to fathers to be the godly fathers God has called each of us to be. In the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 2, tells us these words. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. Discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. Verses 1 through 22, Proverbs chapter 2. Now, thanks again for listening today here on the Hour of Intercession. Today we're looking at the topic of the influence and wisdom of a dad. The influence and wisdom of a dad. And as we look forward to Father's Day coming up in a few days, hope that this will be of encouragement to every dad listening. But also, parents, as we mold and shape our boys to one day grow up to become godly men who may very well become godly husbands and dads as well, let's do our part. And let me say this very clearly. The book of Proverbs is basically like a parental textbook for us in working with our children as they grow up. You know, it's a very good habit, dads and moms, for us to regularly have, in fact, on a daily basis, to read, have your child read at least one proverb every single day. Now, the book of Proverbs has many, many bits of wisdom that will help you in all kinds of areas of life. Some of the topics that are found in the book of Proverbs include the importance of having a good name, the importance of being a hard worker, how to handle money wisely, the importance of avoiding sexual immoral people, and the list goes on and on and on. All the topics are very, very relevant, and they're just as relevant today as they ever were. And so it's important that we really take it serious. And so having our children to read Proverbs is very wise. And then take time to talk about what they've read. You know, I think of this, that many times our children will come up with questions themselves when they really get to reading. I recall this, like, I don't know how many times when I'd have my children to read out loud. They might even, for example, when I tell them to read, sometimes they read reluctantly. I can't say that they always were glad to say, sure, Dad, I would love to read. That was not their typical response. But they would read anyway because I told them to. But on a number of occasions, they'd read and they didn't stop and say, why did this say that? What does that mean? Why did this person do this? And so it was the Spirit of God working on their mind and their heart, causing them to have a curiosity, a desire to learn more, to better understand a truth or truths found in Scripture. Why? Because God's Word works on you. When you begin to read it, it works on you all by itself. The power, the grace, the strength, the insight found in the Word of God begins to grab you and work and massage your mind, your thinking, your thoughts, your thought processes. And the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with that. And so parents, one of the wisest things you and I can do is have our children to read the Word of God out loud to us every single day. And parents and those of us that are grandparents, we can have our grandkids do it either in person or over the telephone. Now, if they think, oh, this is a little strange reading to grandpa or grandma over the phone, well, they'll get used to it. But it's a wise thing to do to ask them to have them to read out loud to you. Why? Because when you read the Word of God, it works on you. It blesses you. It encourages you. It strengthens you in the things of God. That's an important goal So I want to encourage you to make it a goal, dads and moms and granddads and grandmoms, let's have the children to read to us on a regular basis. In fact, a daily basis is a good goal to shoot for. And if you can't manage to do that, just do the best you can. But in many instances, the fact is we can do it on a daily basis if we choose to do it. Nothing will bless our children more than the precious Word of God. So let's make that a priority. Make it a high priority in our lives to help our kids to get into God's Word every single day. Thank you, Lord, for the gift, the wonderful gift your Word is to each and every one of us. Thank you for the opportunity that you give us as dads and moms and as parents to influence, to mold, and shape our children, to help them to have the Word of God to be poured into their mind and their heart, and thus bless them as they receive your Word, as they're guided and molded and shaped by the wisdom that your Word pours into their lives. Thank you, Lord, again, for the privilege of helping them to get into your Word each and every day, and empower us more and more to be very, very, very faithful to do just that. We thank you, and we do praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. How important it is for us as parents to recognize that it's a great responsibility, a great opportunity, but a great responsibility as well for us to be godly parents that mold and shape our children. So specifically, as we're looking at the topic of the influence and wisdom of a dad today, keep in mind, dads, we have a great responsibility here. And the reality is a lot of the ways in which Satan has come against the family have brought trouble and difficulty, and in many instances attacked the family. But still, it's important for wherever we might find ourselves to be, to do our best to seek to glorify God as dads in whatever situation we find ourselves in. Keep in mind, we have many instances where dads may no longer, may be living far away from their children. Well, again, remember, when you have a telephone, when you have a cell phone, one of the main, well, the main use for your cell phone is to glorify God and serve Him with it. And so, even when you can't manage to be with your children for one reason or another every day, again, we have phones. Use that phone to pray with your child on a daily basis. Use the phone to read the Word of God with your child on a daily basis. Why? Because it's a wonderful way to connect and to do discipleship. Remember, dads and moms, a big part of our responsibility is molding and shaping our children and discipling them as well, teaching them how to come to know the Lord, and help teaching them to grow up in their faith and to become strong and vibrant as young boys and girls that will grow up to become godly men and godly women that will glorify God in their lives. Our influence, dads, is huge. The world would like to make it appear that the influence of a dad, of a father in a home, is not important or not even significant or not even needed anymore, but that's so far from the truth. The reality is the world is hurting and bleeding in many ways because of a lack of the ministry of dads and fathers in the world and in our culture. I think of, for example, a significant number of dads find themselves incarcerated in prison as well. And sometimes they make the mistake of thinking, well, there's nothing I can do for my children. But that's one of the lies of the enemy. Even in a case when dad might be incarcerated, dads, you can always pray for your children. And in fact, that's one of the most important things you can do for them, whether you're incarcerated or not. As we pray for our children, the Holy Spirit is released to work in their lives. So, dads, remember, even in difficult situations like that, you can always pray for your children, and that's one of the greatest things you can do for them. But also, try to communicate with them. It's important, even in an incarceration situation, writing letters or calling when you can call, but being in touch is very important. And the fact is, the reality is, in so many instances, children are very, very forgiving, even when parents have made mistakes, and it's important for us to make the most of the opportunities we have, especially when they're very young, to influence their lives. So the words of encouragement, the words of wisdom, the words of insight that we share with them will have a much bigger impact, typically, than we think. And so it's important to know, too, dads, when we live right there in the home with them, or maybe don't live in the home with them, our influence is much bigger than we tend to think. And so our children are watching and observing what we do. I'm reminded of a dad who, for a period of time, had a job where he would get very dusty and dirty. When he'd come home, he'd be very dusty and dirty, and he would regularly take a shower quickly after he got home because he was just so dusty and dirty. But one day, he caught one of his sons with a piece of chalk just writing on his pants, just putting chalk all over his pants. He said, "Son, what are you trying to do?" "I'm trying to look like you, Dad." And that's a reality. Dads, remember, our children are going to want to imitate us. For good or for bad, they're going to want to do what we do. So that's why it's important for us to live for God and live as close to God as we can, because our children are going to watch us. They're going to listen to us. They're going to pay attention to us. And they're going to learn all kinds of things from us just by observing what we do. So we need to be as close to God as we can be. We need to be seeking to live as close to the Lord as we can be, so that we'll be good role models before our children, before our boys and our girls as well. Dads, I can't overemphasize how important it is for us to be the right kind of role models. Often you find that when we do our job to pray and read the Word of God before our children at home, which is something we should do on a daily basis as they're small, they'll learn from us. In fact, many times when you hear a child pray out loud, they will imitate the prayers they've heard dad and or mom pray as well. They may use words they don't even know what they mean, but they've heard dad or mom say them, so they use them as well. So our children will imitate us in going after God in many instances just because that's what they've seen in us. And sometimes they'll imitate things we don't want them to imitate because they're always watching. Dads and moms, the children are always, always watching. And many times, you know, it's not hard to run into parents and say, my children don't listen to me. That's not true. They're listening many times when you want them to listen, and many times they're listening when you don't want them to listen. They're learning things that many times you want them to learn, and they're learning things you didn't want for them to learn as well. The story is told of a young boy about 7 or 8 years of age. He went to church one Sunday, and he saw a particular gentleman, and he walked up to him and started walking, making big circles, walking around the man, looking him up and down, up and down. And finally, the man said to the boy, the young man, boy, what are you looking at? And the man said, my daddy said you was two-faced, and I was looking for your other face. Well, this little boy heard something that he wasn't supposed to hear dad say. Dad said something that he shouldn't have said in front of his son. Of course, he probably shouldn't have said it anyhow. But the fact is, dads and moms, we've got to watch what we say before our children because they are listening. They really and truly are listening. And many times children are, to be quite honest, they're honest in ways that sometimes parents might wish they weren't quite so honest. I heard what I thought was a humorous story of a gentleman who was a well-known magician, had a magician act, that is. And one day he was in an audience and he called a particular little boy up and called a little bit of boy up when he needed a volunteer. Do I have a volunteer? And this little boy raises his hand and he calls him up. Come right up here, young man. The boy comes up and he says to the young man, you've never seen me before in your life, have you? And the boy looked up and very sincerely said, no, Daddy. Well, of course, he blew his cover. But the fact is, children many times are brutally honest. And so it's important for us to understand the importance of living an honest life, a godly life before our children, because they're learning, they're listening, again, all the time. So let's try to be good role models before our children every single day. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us to be role models, men who are living a godly life before our boys and before our girls. Father, empower us to be faithful in this area, to live and to speak in such a way that our children can basically walk in our footsteps and learn more and more what a godly individual looks like, what a godly person talks like, what a godly person acts like, the attitude with which that person carries themselves. Help us to live so that daily they can follow in our footsteps and thus be growing stronger in you because they have a good role model found in their parents. Lord, help us to never take this lightly, but help us to know, Lord, that we need to be prayerful, to be seeking to follow you as closely as we can. We need to be in your word and in prayer every day because it doesn't happen by accident for us to become more and more like Jesus. It happens more and more as we stay close to you, Lord. Help us to do just that. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Park as we look at the topic of the influence and wisdom of a dad. We'll be right back.
Target is not listening. More than 1.3 million people have signed the pledge to boycott Target. Their stock value has dropped more than $10 billion, and still, they're sticking with their effort to change American values. Men are welcome in Target fitting rooms and bathrooms with your wife and daughters. Is that okay with you? Go to AFA.net and sign the pledge to boycott Target. If you've already signed, share the link on social media. Our goal is 50,000 new signatures this week. Let's make Target listen.
Family is an institution set forth by God. One man and one woman for life, with the outflow being children produced by that union. It's obvious to all that there is an attack on the family in our country, and especially on fathers. Whether it's the cycle of sin that persists in our families or the pressure from our government to exclude men from being intimately involved, the strategic battle is on for the souls of men. Join us in the battle to strengthen fatherhood. UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
With every delivery, you should get a receipt. Well, Dr. Tony Evans says that's exactly what happened when Jesus delivered us spiritually. He explains as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, we fight an invisible war against an invisible enemy in an invisible sphere, but it affects us in our earthly realm. It's called the schemes of the devil. He is cunning. He has underground mines that you don't know are there, and you step on them, and all of a sudden they explode. And what does God want you to do? He wants you to, two words, stand firm. Don't you want to storm the enemy's camp in a war? Why would he say, stand firm? He wants you to stand firm because Jesus has already won the offensive victory. That's why I want you to stand firm. You're not in this war to fight the wind. You're in this war to take care of the ground already won. Victory has already been won for you at Calvary. That's the problem why we have so many defeated Christians. They're still fighting to win. If you're fighting to win, you're not fighting the battle that Jesus fought, because the battle that Jesus fought was already won at Calvary. We saw that in Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 to 15. He has already embarrassed the principalities and the powers. He's defeated them. So what must you do? Stand firm.
Learn more about the victory Christ died to give you. Get a copy of Dr. Evans' book, Victory in Spiritual Warfare, and find new hope, whether you're dealing with relational concerns or tougher issues like sexual or emotional problems, substance abuse, and so on. Visit TonyEvans.org today to get the details and make your request. That's TonyEvans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
This is the Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Mandisa with the song God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of the influence and wisdom of a dad. And we invite you to look with us in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Let's take a moment now. We're going to pray through the Ten Commandments. And for every parent listening, I want to encourage you to make it a goal to pray this daily, but also teach and train your children to pray their Ten Commandments daily as well. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, help us this day to put you first. Help us this day, Lord, to make no graven images. Lord, help us to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Lord, help us to not steal. Help us to not kill. Help us to not commit adultery. Lord, help us to tell the truth. And help us, Lord, to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. And looking in the book of Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Reading that again. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Again, here this lays out some very important responsibilities for dads and moms, training our children, molding and shaping our children to come to know the Lord and to live for the Lord, and thus teaching them how to walk in righteousness and live a righteous life, a life that honors the Lord. It's important for us to recognize that parents, we have our job, our work cut out for us, and dads in particular, we're to provide leadership for the family and the home, and that's so critically needed in this day in which the devil's trying to destroy the family. Lots of homes don't even have a dad in the home. There's such a need for lots of men to be challenged to, in so many instances, get married. Stop. Don't live like a dog. Live in such a way that you honor God in the way you carry yourself, in the area of relationships and sexuality, and every other area as well. So it's important to know our influence is tremendous, and our responsibility given by God is tremendous as well. What difference does being a dad make? How important is it for a father to really know what it means to be a godly father in the home? What impact does the father have on the family? How does it impact his life, the life of his spouse, the life of his children as well? Well, those are the kinds of questions that a man by the name of Richard L. Dugdale wanted to ask back in the late 1800s. He was a member of the executive committee of the Prison Association of New York, and he was chosen to inspect 13 county jails in the state of New York. And when he got to one particular county, he was surprised to find out that six people related by blood were in the same jail. They were being held for a variety of offenses, including burglary, attempted rape, and assault with intent to kill. When Dugdale talked to the county sheriff and an 84-year-old doctor, he found out that the family had been in the area since the early settling of the state of New York, and they were well known to be a family that had lots of criminal behavior connected to it. Dugdale was intrigued, and he decided to study the family, and he published the findings that he found, and he came up with a fictitious name, the Jukes, to basically describe the family. He traced their family line back a ways many, many years earlier to a man called Max, the patriarch of the family. Max was born sometime between 1720 and 1740. He had six daughters and two sons. Just a number of his children were born out of wedlock, and he was a drinker himself. He had an alcoholic problem and wasn't known to be especially fond of work either. Well, Dugdale estimated the family probably comprised over that period of time from the early 1700s to the late 1800s. He estimated the family comprised of somewhere around 1,200 people over that many decades. But he was able to study only about 709 members of the family. And in 1877, he published his findings in a publication called The Jukes, A Study in Crime, Pauperism, Disease, and Heredity. What he found was that they exhibited a pattern of behavior that was very negative in so many ways, patterns of behavior that included being criminals, harlotry, pauperism, that just really stood out. For example, he compiled these figures. 180 members of his clan down the years were paupers, very poor people, that is. 140 were criminals. 60 of them were habitual thieves, and 50 were common prostitutes. The family's reputation was so bad, according to Dugdale, their family name had come to be used generically as a term of just reproach or something to look down on, or a name to be looked down on. And the owner of a factory in the area used to keep a list of the members of that family in his office to make sure that nobody would ever hire them. They had quite a reputation. Dugdale and many subsequent researchers desired to establish the role heredity played in the behavior of the Jukes family. Today, scientists agree that there's no criminal gene to explain behavior like that. But one thing is true. Being in the Jukes family had a very negative influence on the members of that family. No, all of them didn't turn out to be negative people in their lives and their lifestyles, but quite a few of them did. Well, again, you could ask the question, did some of them escape the cycles of poverty and the cycles of crime and that sort of thing? Certainly they did. But remember, the negative nature of the way the father, Max, started things out certainly had an influence on the whole family and the whole clan. But then a study was done on a gentleman with a very different background. The family was specifically the family of Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards, he was a theologian, a pastor, and eventually became president of Princeton University. And he was born in 1703. He lived in Connecticut, New York, Massachusetts, and New Jersey. And Edwards was a devoted Christian and a devoted family man, a devoted dad and a father. He and his wife, Sarah, they had 11 children, 3 sons and 8 daughters. They remained married for 31 years until Jonathan Edwards died of a smallpox inoculation. In 1900, A.E. Winship studied 1,400 of the descendants of Jonathan and Sarah Edwards. Among them, Winship found these. 13 of his descendants were college presidents. 65 were professors. There were 100 lawyers, including a law school dean. 30 of them became judges. 66 of them became doctors. One even became a medical school dean. 80 of them held public office, including 3 U.S. senators, 3 mayors of large cities, 3 governors, and a controller of the U.S. Treasury, and 1 U.S. vice president. Well, the question should be asked, does family make a difference? Does being a godly dad make a difference? Does the influence it has on the family make a difference? It can make all the difference in the world. How important it is for us as dads, as well as parents, period, to note that our life of living a life of knowing the Lord, following the Lord, and honoring God in our lives and in the way we parent makes all the difference in the world. How critical it is for us to be serious about the work we've been called to, influencing and guiding our family to live for the Lord, to walk in the wisdom of God, and to walk in the ways of God as well. Molding and shaping our children into children that will honor God is so, so very important. In our final few minutes, let me share with you an illustration story of the kind of struggles that sometimes our children may have to deal with. And these are the kinds of reasons, these remind us of reasons why it's so important for us as parents to do our job, to guide, to mold, to shape, to help our children walk in the wisdom of God's word. And I'm simply going to call this Michael's story. It was a summer day when 16-year-old Michael went to his friend's house to hang out with some of the guys from the local high school. They'd been goofing off for about 30 minutes when one of the friends got a text that some girls from the high school wanted to stop by for a little while. The guys were excited and the parents weren't home, so they wouldn't have to feel like someone was watching over everything they did. The girls arrived about 20 minutes later. Michael knew some of them from school, and one girl named Melissa seemed to be really interested in him. Michael and Melissa talked and flirted. Michael went into the kitchen to get a drink when a couple of the guys came in following him. One of them said, "Hey, Michael, looks like Melissa's really interested in you." One of the other guys said, "Yeah, looks like you have a great opportunity today, if you know what I mean. You should take advantage of that situation." Michael's response was, "What? I don't even know that girl. I'm not going to sleep with her." "Come on, Michael, what more could you ask for? You've got a girl that really likes you in a house with no parents around. Sounds like the perfect opportunity to me. Unless you're scared." "What?" Michael said, "No, I'm not scared. I just think my first time should be special." And the guy started laughing and making fun of him. Michael, without meaning to, had just admitted to his friends that he was a virgin, and they made him feel like he was a real freak for being a virgin. What happened next seemed like to Michael, as he remembered it, as a bad dream. He ended up doing something he really didn't want to do, just to get the guys to let the pressure up off him. He walked out of the kitchen, went into the living room, and led Melissa into a back bedroom. And the guys were right. She was a sure thing. That night, Michael, after he went to bed, he felt really bad, really down, because he asked himself the question, how could he have made something that should have been so special into a random cheap act? But the depression and the discouragement he felt was nothing compared to what happened a few weeks later when Melissa called him to tell him she was pregnant. A paternity test confirmed that he was, in fact, the father of the baby. He didn't love Melissa. He didn't really even know her. There would be no wedding. He did get a part-time job after school so that he could give Melissa money for diapers and things like that. But the question is, where were Michael's friends who encouraged him to take advantage of the quote-unquote situation? Nowhere to be found, especially when it was time for Michael to help watch his baby. Michael grew to love the baby and was proud of his son as he grew up. He knew that his son was a blessing, but if he could do it all over again, he wouldn't be a 16-year-old father. He would save sex for the girl that would one day be his wife. Well, an intriguing story and a powerful story, but it's a story that's much too common in our culture today. How important it is for us as dads to do our part to both live a life before our children, to let them know that, again, a person's relationships, the area of relationships and sexuality is a very important part of life, and we're to teach our boys to keep themselves sexually pure until they get married, to decide that they themselves will not try to become a dad until after they've won the girl's heart and put a ring on her finger and married her first. Again, in many ways, the devil wants us to set marriage aside, but dads and moms, it's important for us to teach and train our children that marriage is very important. Marriage is to be between one man and one woman before God, and it's the institution that God has established, and it's that which God is glorified through, and that's God's idea. So, dads, as we live a life before our children where we're good role models before them and showing them that we're to keep ourselves until we get married, that's important. But at the same time, dad, sometimes you've made a mistake. Well, it's important to teach your boys to be responsible and take care of all of your children. It's our responsibility to provide well for our children, not run from responsibility. The needs are tremendous. It's important for us to teach our children that we're to keep ourselves sexually pure until marriage, but take responsibility for the things that, if we've made a mistake, take responsibility for it. Teaching our boys to grow up to become men who will take responsibility and do the right thing and take care of family and children as the situation arises. So it's important for us dads that we are about our Father's business, being good dads that will honor God in every area of our lives, and seek to help raise our children in such a way that they will glorify and honor the Lord in every part of life. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being dads. Lord, raise up more and more godly dads who will honor you in the way they live, the way we carry ourselves, and the way we do everything we do. Thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been looking today at the topic of the influence and wisdom of a dad. We appreciate you listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.